From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Today, he begins a message bearing the title, Judgment Inescapable for Condemned Sinners. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Are the Children In? The text is Isaiah 44 and verse 3. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Our dear children have not the Spirit of God by nature, as we plainly see. We see much in them that makes us fear as to their future, and this drives us to agonizing prayer. When a son becomes specially perverse, we cry with Abraham, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee! We would sooner see our daughters Hannahs than empresses. This verse should greatly encourage us. It follows upon the words, Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and it may well banish our fears. The Lord will give His Spirit, will give it plentifully, pouring it out, will give it effectually, so that it shall be a real and eternal blessing. Under this divine outpouring, our children shall come forward, and one shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. This is one of those promises concerning which the Lord will be inquired of. Should we not at set times, in a distinct manner, pray for our offspring? We cannot give them new hearts, but the Holy Spirit can, and He is easily to be entreated of. The great Father takes pleasure in the prayers of fathers and mothers. Have we any dear ones outside of the ark? Let us not rest till they are shut in with us, by the Lord's own hand.
My Jesus fair was pierced by thorns, by thorns grown from the fall. Thus He who gave the curse was torn. Jesus meek was scorned by men, by men.
Lord, holy, Lord.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. Continuing these messages from Joshua, Dr. Cairns turns his attention now to verses 16 through 27 of chapter 10. As defeat in their battle with the army of Israel became apparent, five heathen kings who had initiated the conflict hid themselves in a cave, hoping to escape from Joshua. Yet when the battle ended, Joshua did discover them, and they were put to death. From this account, Dr. Cairns will draw some sobering spiritual lessons regarding those who think they can escape the judgment of God. The first truth about those pagan kings is that they were under condemnation for their sin against God. So all who are born into this world are condemned sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is but one way of escape, and that is total surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone has the power to save sinners. Now to introduce this message, Judgment Inescapable for Condemned Sinners, here is Dr. Cairns.
For a couple of Lord's days, I have been drawing your attention to the first part of this chapter, and the victory of Joshua over the confederacy of five kings under the headship of the King of Jerusalem. Last time we thought of the longest day. I want us to read the portion, starting at verse 16 down to verse 27, dealing with the attempt to escape and the fate of the five kings who headed up the confederacy in the south against Joshua. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makeda. And it was told Joshua, saying, "The five kings are found hid in a cave at Makeda." And Joshua said, "Roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand." And it came to pass, when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makeda in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, "Open the mouth of the cave, and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave." And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, "Come near, and put your feet upon the necks of these kings." And they came near, and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, "Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight." And afterward Joshua smote them, and slew them, and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. It came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun, that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees, cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his own name's sake. After the five kings of the southern confederacy had fought and lost the battle of Beth Horon, they fled for their lives, and they hid in a cave in Makeda. There they hoped to escape the judgment that both God and Joshua had decreed against them. It was a forlorn attempt, for Joshua, knowing their presence there, immediately sealed the cave, held them there until he returned to execute the judgment already determined against them. That scene has a message, not only from history, but a message of prophecy, a message about a greater Joshua and a greater judgment. There are literally millions of sinners who, just like the five kings in the portion we have been reading, fight against the Lord Jesus Christ, and who yet seem for a time to escape the execution of the judgment that has been determined against them. In fact, they are not escaping at all. For like these five kings, they also are simply trapped in a cave of their own choosing, awaiting the certain punishment of every Christ rejecter. Now that is the simple way in which I want us to view this portion of Scripture this morning. I want us to think upon the subject of judgment being inescapable for condemned sinners. Judgment inescapable for condemned sinners. I want us to examine the story we have read and draw from it the necessary truths and lessons. The first thing I note is that these kings were condemned for their sin against God. The Lord had concluded them guilty. He spoke about the cup of their iniquity being filled to overflowing. He drew attention to the wicked abominations which they practiced, the sins of immorality, the sins of idolatry. He constantly touched upon the wickedness of these kings and the nations which they led. He concluded them guilty, and he threatened judgment upon them. As I have been pointing out as we have gone through the book of Joshua, the Lord held off in that judgment for over 400 years. Those were years when yet the witness was available to these people. Those were years when mercy held back the thunder clouds of divine vengeance. And yet these men and their people paid no heed. They paid no heed to divine threatening. They paid no heed to divine warning. They paid no heed to presages of judgment. And they paid no heed to the tender voice of mercy. They had no time for God, no thought for God. But their insensibility to the things of God did not change the fact that God had concluded them guilty and that God had threatened vengeance upon them. To the sins of their immorality and their idolatry, their sins of open ungodliness, they added the crowning sin against grace. For we read that what stirred them up on this occasion was the sight of the Gibeonites, a neighboring city, making peace with Joshua. They must have been amazed at how Joshua had treated the Gibeonites. They knew that he had entered into a league with them, that he had saved them alive, that he had brought them under a contract the like of which the world had never seen, and which no conquering nation had ever offered to a conquered people before, and sometimes I think after. They knew all this, and if the righteousness of God had stirred them up to hatred, the grace of God stirred them even further, and they hated that grace with a perfect hatred. What sin? That's what brought them under condemnation. They form for us a perfect picture of the natural man. Paul spoke of the natural man in Romans chapter 3, starting at verse 9. He says that we have proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. Then he gives a description of what it is for men to be under sin. He says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. There is none that doeth good. Their throat is like an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit, and the poison of asps is under their lips. He says there is no fear of God before their eyes. And he concludes his great statement by saying that all the world thereby becomes guilty before God. There is a picture of the natural man. The Bible does not in any way
gloss over the sins of the human heart. The Bible does not set out to make people feel good about themselves. The Bible is not into this positive self-image rubbish. The Bible is not into the false gospel of self-esteem. In fact, the Bible takes the very opposite tact, and it tells you if you are ever to be saved, if you are ever to be right with God, if you are ever to have peace of conscience, and if you're ever to have peace of mind, then first you must lose all esteem for yourself. You must recognize yourself to be what God says you are, a sinner by birth, a sinner by character, a sinner by works, a sinner by choice, a sinner whose mind is darkened, whose heart is depraved, whose will is set against God, and whose every breath is breathed in open rebellion against God. And until a man recognizes that, there is no hope for him. Until he feels and recognizes the wickedness and the guiltiness, the filthiness and the ungodliness of his own soul, he will never sue for mercy. God says, there is none righteous, none that doeth good, none that seeketh after God, none, but that is a sinner. And to all this open sin, the added sin against grace and gospel. If the law of God reckons men to be sinners and exposes their sin, how much more the gospel? If it is crime to walk by Mount Sinai and trample the law of God beneath ungodly feet, how much greater is the crime of walking by Mount Calvary and trampling the blood of the Son of God beneath your feet? There are people in this meeting this morning who have been brought up under the sound of the gospel of grace. They have had every tender invitation the grace of God can afford. They have had every advantage that an open Bible and a preached gospel can give. And to the sins of wicked ungodliness, they have added that of despising the grace of God. They have counted the blood of the covenant as an unclean thing. And they have said, we will not have this man to reign over us. That's why the Lord Jesus said, he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What an insight into the life of the ungodly. How differently does the Lord Jesus look at your life if you're not a Christian than the way you look at it? The ungodly look at themselves as being in the ballroom of the world's entertainment. The Lord Jesus says, all you've done is shut yourself up into a cave like the kings at Makeda, and you're sealed for judgment. What a picture. Condemned already. Condemned and awaiting the execution of judgment. All because of sin.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.